Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours at the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville. Unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 6:11, 83 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. I'm ready for it to cool off, Lola.
Yes.
Nikki, introduce our guest. Okay.
I'm sorry, you have the...
I got it. Never mind. I'm sorry. Stephen Myers is with us tonight. His new book, Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. It connects the Great Pyramid, it contends that the Great Pyramid was built using water locks, and the Great Pyramid is a water pump. Mr. Myers, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, sir. You got to tell me, how was this a water pump? How did you make that connection?
Okay,
yeah, there you go. Right at the jump.
He did this to me too.
Sorry to shoot out there with that. Well, let's start smaller. How are you doing?
Good.
We're glad to have you.
When you asked that question, the idea of it being a water pump was determined, over a whole 20 years of research, that type of thing. I determined a whole bunch of things about what it wasn't, what the Great Pyramid wasn't. And
that might be the best place to start, because a lot of people do, the general, when I was in grade school, high school, even in college, the general, idea behind the pyramids themselves was that they were burial temples.
Burial temples, yeah.
That they were there to, in some way to help them to get to the other side. And a lot of people, it seems like when you try to contend that, you're pretty much a heretic. I mean, I guess to the Egyptologist, is that kind of the...
Well, certainly it's a revolution in understanding, that's for sure. But a lot of Egyptologists, all those stories that you were told, I studied all of that. And I came up to an understanding. And that understanding is much of what they've said cannot be demonstrated.
Okay.
They can't make... The precision cut stones called casing stones, they used to be on the outside. Egyptology has never made one of those stones, and they've never moved even the heaviest stones 1 inch. So the Egyptologists have stories that they tell, but they haven't engaged in the scientific method to demonstrate those stories. So anyway, there's a whole... other way to look at the Great Pyramid instead of worrying about what religion the people had or their hieroglyphs is to understand that building, that 45-story skyscraper, to understand it strictly in terms of technology. And ultimately, we felt that it was built using water locks. And the book is well illustrated describing that, and that its ultimate purpose was that it was infrastructure for the civilization that built it, and in fact was a water pump.
I gotta ask, and I don't want to sound like I'm being mean or that I'm disagreeing with you. Please, don't take it that way.
I can handle it.
Then I'm gonna throw it at you thick. No. Why would they bury their dead kings in their water pump?
That's a good question. It's fascinating that of all the pyramids in Egypt, none have had a mummy in them.
What?
Really?
Isn't that interesting?
Lied to my entire life.
Yes, you have.
This is crap.
There's certainly some holes in the ground in the Valley of the Kings, where King Tut was found. That's an entirely different thing than building a pyramid. The Great Pyramid has no formal writing on it. It has no hieroglyphs or anything like that. Just like the inside of your car engine doesn't have any writing on it because it doesn't need it. It's a functioning machine.
Yeah, and even King Tut, he was the kind of a rush job anyways with his death, because they were trying to get him buried, to kind of, there was a little bit more of a court intrigue going on at the time. So I mean, I don't think you could even use that as a typical, you know, burial for the pharaohs themselves.
Well, it's certainly a bait and switch of the evidence, if you will, to show King Tut's tomb, and then to show the Great Pyramid. That's disingenuous with the facts, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But we think that the Great Pyramid was epitomized a lot of high technology that ancient mankind had. They were more in tune with the environment, had some profound understanding of physics, and built this Great Pyramid. And I represent a nonprofit foundation dedicated to redeveloping this ancient technology for modern times.
Now, how do you feel? We've had a lot of shows on the pyramid, and most of them have said that the pyramid was created either with the help of alien technology or by the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you feel about that in contrast to what you believe?
Well, the reason why people assert that aliens were involved is because the Great Pyramid, much of it exhibits some extremely high technology and understanding of physics. So they say that the ancient man didn't know that,
mm-hmm.
so they must have had information from other sources. What's important to me is not who built it, but having our modern but troubled world be able to utilize that technology to help us in our modern but very troubled world. So we feel that this ancient water pump, when this technology can be redeveloped, will help us reduce our addiction to oil, for one thing, and it will also help irrigation and other applications.
Now, how close are y'all to figuring out exactly how this the water pumps work?
Well, I know that I sent you a copy of the book.
I have it right here in my hand. So
okay. That book is specific about how it was assembled, just like all authors on the Great Pyramid, can't just write one book about the Great Pyramid. I'm writing another book that is specific to how the Great Pyramid functioned as a water pump,
and the
theory is pretty much
it sucks water out and it shoots water.
Well. The theory is all figured out, but there's certainly some funding issues that we're having in this day and age. So, there's a lot of things that are much more unbelievable that we believe now. Like there was a guy who said that mold can make sick people well,
mm-hmm.
and he was Alexander Fleming that figured out penicillin.
Yeah.
And there's another guy that says, well, electricity can go both ways in the same wire, and that was Nikola Tesla, who figured out alternating current.
Hmm.
And we think that all of the stories by Egyptologists that they assigned to the Great Pyramid are incorrect, and we're trying to understand it as a technological wonder. And so that's what we're about.
Well,
and my book is about how the Great Pyramid was assembled.
All right, well, I'm online, and I'm able to go into the chat room. So I'm trying to think of, you know, listening to this, going at it from a perspective of, I've always thought of it as, you know, a monument or a burial temple, you know, something like that. That's what we were always told.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you just said, you know, there was no mummies ever found in the pyramids themselves. So, you know, my first question then would be, what exactly was found in, by archaeologists when they would go into these temples? What was that, or I'm not temples, but pyramids, what was actually found?
Well, specific to the Great Pyramid, there was only one thing in there that was found in the 18th. That was the sarcophagus or the coffer, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
It's a box. But there was also found what was called Nile earth, which is understood to be sediment. So that was part of the water system. And but it's interesting what wasn't found. No hieroglyphs, no burial stuff at all.
And of course, if it was meant for people to go into, or even, you know, they would have hieroglyphs on the walls, you know. So would you say that these are more tunnels that were more for function than for you know, going through and looking at is kind of what you're saying, right?
Yes. Yeah, they're for function. They're more like water pipes, the passages, because you got to walk bent over, and also there's no steps or anything. So it's more of a machine than it is a burial device. Like hydroelectric dams are almost all solid concrete. They just have a few passages and chambers inside them that are oddly shaped, and it's a big thing that serves a function, a hydraulic ram water pump. Well, we think the Great Pyramid in ancient times was another way to pump water than the way we pump water, which is by damming the river, hydroelectric dam, and then using the electricity to pump some water. But we're trying to give glory to the ancient geniuses who designed and built the Great Pyramid, and we're trying to understand it in a technical level and to redevelop that ancient technology.
Now, what got you involved in kind of looking at the real reason pyramids are here?
Okay. I have a great technical interest. My degree is technical. I've had a number of positions that are very technical. Amateur radio operator. And I even collect antique gasoline engines, the old one-lungers. So much of my experience and interest is in technology, and I also like history. But I like history not what the battles or the generals, but like the range of airplanes and the bomb loads and how good the tanks were and that type of stuff. So if you like history and technology, ultimately you will look at the Great Pyramid. And I read all the normal stuff about the Great Pyramid, and they made some rather extraordinary claims in terms of the technology, that big, heavy stones were dragged, you know, every 2 minutes. Wow, that's quite a claim. But I found out through quite a bit of research that does not engage in the scientific method and don't demonstrate those things that they say that just working people could do. So I looked at alternative ideas, and then I finally found this privately published book by a man named Edward Kunkel.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote the book called Pharaoh's Pump, and it was phenomenal because it described the Great Pyramid in terms of its technology and that it had a functional purpose, a water pump. And we named our nonprofit foundation after his book, the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation. And we're out here in Oregon. And just having a great time.
Well, now I'm looking at the diagrams, the important chambers of the Great Pyramid,
yes,
at the front of your book, and you know, one of the things that, you know, I was looking at was that, you know, they do have vents that kind of go, yes, out from the chambers themselves. You know, and I'm trying to look at it now as kind of something, you know, maybe trying to see how the, you know, it would work. My first question is, of course. Okay, of course, if it's a water pump, how far away from the river would it be? I know now it's a dammed river, so, mm-hmm, you know, it's not the same as where it would be when it was in ancient times.
Yes.
In ancient times, how far away is it from the river?
That's still under debate because it depends on when you think the Great Pyramid was built. In extremely ancient times, the Nile was in several different places, if you will. In the time of the pharaohs, it was just a few miles away, if you will. But Herodotus, the 5th century BC historian, said,
uh-huh,
that there were canals from Lake Maurice, which is still there,
uh-huh,
it's much,
uh-huh,
smaller than it was, to the Great Pyramid, and that the Great Pyramid was surrounded by a wall that impounded water, that the Great Pyramid sat in a little pond.
Really?
And looked and as an island, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And
there'd be a carotid.
Yeah, excuse me. Herodotus said much about water on the Giza Plateau. He also said that the pyramid next to the Great Pyramid did not have an artificial duct to it, as did the Great Pyramid did. So it's really fascinating when you look at the technology to find out the genius of the ancient mind and how they solved some of their problems.
Wow. Stephen, if you want to hang on just a second, we got to take our bottom of the hour break. We are on with Stephen Myers. We are talking about the lost technologies of the Great Pyramid. We'll be right back with Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX.
Yes, that's what we command. When you say just, that's the largest structure in North America was built. Nonprofit.
And now back to Whispers, brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm Jordan Klein. He's Nick Queen. He is also Evan Drawn, because I'm not doing the, hey, you're with us, but you're here. And, of course, the lovely Lola Miller's keeping us on the air for some strange reason. Our guest tonight, Mr. Stephen Myers, the lost technologies of the Great Pyramid. You still with us?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You're one of the brave ones. Okay.
You hung through. Good job. You get a gold star. Now, you know, we were asking kind of during the break, the pyramids aren't really around much. You know, it's not like there was big cities like surrounding it or anything. Why do you think that is? If it's a water pump, you know, it's going to be around, you know, places that need
water.
Water.
Right. Places that need water are more than likely in this application, to make a long story short, I see the Giza Plateau more as an industrial park than a place for tombs as it was originally. And the water probably was used to power heavy machinery, that type of thing, but also to irrigate above the floodplain. And there's a lot of area that is now desert that would bloom with water. So
to support the large population that Egypt had.
Let me put it this way: the Great Pyramid was a transformer. It transformed the desert into a garden. It transformed poverty into prosperity. It transformed labor into leisure. All by being a water pump. The largest structure in North America is a water pump. It was the Grand Coulee Dam, built primarily for irrigation, and it irrigates about a third of the state. It pumps water up higher than the dam itself, and it made prosperity for that whole region. So it's that's what we want to do with the Great Pyramid, is reduce our use of fossil fuels to make electricity, and we can use this water pump to generate electricity ultimately. That's our goal.
How we were saying in the break, just here with, you know, between ourselves, that we really don't know how old the pyramids are. How have they dated them? Strictly by images that were left behind by the Egyptians, or is there some other, I don't know if you can do carbon dating on that type of rock or not, but...
Well, there's been several ways to date it. One way that Egyptologists use is that some of the graves in the area were from the 4th dynasty. Mm-hmm. So then they say, then the pyramid was made in the 4th dynasty. But there's a lot of things that have graves around it that aren't made the same time the graves are, if you will.
Yeah.
Independence Rock is one example. You know, it's a big rock that was on the Oregon Trail, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of graves around it, but you wouldn't want to date the rock the same time that the graves were
yeah.
made.
Right. Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of just guesswork and just Egyptologists declaring an edict and then validating it by their authority, if you will.
Yeah.
But who built the Great Pyramid is beyond the scope of our research. But I know how to find out who built it and when, and that is by using the scientific method and demonstrating the technical requirements to build the Great Pyramid by making a casing stone or moving the heaviest stones.
And that's always the thing that, you know, I just do not see. I mean, these things are, how heavy were these stones?
70 tons
at least,
the 10 heaviest.
Pounds.
And there's, and like you were saying before, you know, they were moving, you know, every 2 minutes in place.
Yes.
you know, I can understand maybe the bottom ones, you know, or maybe even the next level up. Past that, I mean, you're talking, such as getting the capstone on itself, you're talking, that's an endeavor, you know, and you don't really have...
It's a lot of slaves.
It is a lot of slaves, and I just don't... I don't know, that's been one of the weaker arguments in that, you know,
Egyptology is that they cannot demonstrate what they say. So it's a real problem, and we're in a revolution of understanding. And with 2012 coming up, people understand it's like a new beginning that's going to happen. And I think that people will there's going to just be a revolution in a lot of different ways, ideas, technology, concepts, and that type of thing coming up. And included in that will be understanding ancient technologies developed by ancient geniuses that we can use to help our troubled world in a similar way that they help their troubled world.
Well,
that's what we're all about.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. You know, first off, how did they get these stones into place at the different levels? What exactly, you know, and I don't want to give away your whole book or anything, but how did they do this?
Well, they used water locks. The Erie Canal is a 4.5-foot deep ditch with some water locks, and the barges are built to carry a payload of, believe it or not, 70 tons. And they could move 70 tons using just two horses on a towpath.
Right.
And that is the technology, ancient technology, that was used to build the Great Pyramid. Imagine, if you will, that there's no pyramid at all, and the first stones they put on were the first layer of outside casing stones. And then that created an area that could be filled in like a pond, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that pond down to the Nile River was a series of water locks, so that a stone on a barge could go all the way up to that pond, and then in the pond, the stone would be moved from the barge into the pond, and when that pond was filled up, the first level of the Great Pyramid would have been completed.
Hmm.
And it's a systematic process that much of which has been demonstrated in the real world.
That makes sense. Because at that point, then you would have to flood it up or create a flood for the area around the pyramid to lift it up to get to the next layers, correct?
No. You would put the next layer...
I'm trying to think.
That's what I thought.
Well,
it would have to be
head.
Is what Nick said. Yeah.
Picture it in my head.
You would use another layer of casing stones, uh-huh. Put them on, and they're cemented together. The ones that are still there are still watertight.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're cemented together. The next layer of casing stones, add more water into that, and it becomes a pond that's on top of the first layer.
Oh, so you just keep building the inside. You keep...
Yes.
And that's where the water... Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
And
yes,
you wouldn't need
is.
The a massive amount of slaves.
No.
I mean, you would just need... You would need some slaves, but you wouldn't need as many.
But you could use the rest for other things.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's... I'm just saying, you know, you wouldn't need... the manpower that they're saying.
No, you wouldn't.
They would
have.
No, you wouldn't. And
because,
even if you had the manpower, you couldn't do it, because Egyptologists are wrong.
Yeah.
All those books in all the libraries around the world that talk about a big ramp and people dragging stones, they're just wrong.
And I'm good at some technology, but not this kind. Why can that not be? I mean, why is it wrong, I guess?
Oh, why is it wrong?
They haven't been able to do it yet.
Well, I know they haven't been able to do it, but I mean, why? What are the specific types of failures that they keep coming up against?
Well, first of all, they move small stones to say that's how big stones were moved. That's disingenuous. I can pick up a Hot Wheels car, and that's how I pick up a great big car out in the driveway.
Yeah.
It's disingenuous. Also,
it's apples to oranges.
Yeah.
Yes. It is bad science, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And also, the casing stones are made so precise that it's like they were machined. They say that the workers pounded stones up against other stones, and that's how they made them. The only thing is, It can't be done. It's beyond, it's impossible to do it. Our foundation has a $50,000 research scholarship open to anyone who can move, who can make and move five casing stones the way Egyptologists say they were. And that's at our website. So if you know anyone that needs $50,000,
have at it.
Yeah. And now remember, every 2 minutes a stone was moved, so that's 10 minutes work.
See, I don't get this every 2 minutes either. That's even if you believe that they were rolled up ramps.
Mm-hmm.
That's you couldn't even do that
you can't
with
move a couch
big
in
machinery
2 minutes.
That's a
that we have
speed,
now.
Yeah.
Right. Everything they say is false. They say that the stones were drug up a ramp, but they poured water on there to make it slick so the stone would slide. Well, what about the workers pulling the next stone?
They're slaves. It doesn't matter. They can just
fall
off the
edge. You ask them questions like that, it's just there is no it's insensical. Egyptology is the phrenology of the 21st century. It is the next sciences come and go.
Yeah.
You know, in the historical flow of things, and Egyptology, if it doesn't change a whole bunch, it will go by the wayside.
Why do you think they're so entrenched in these ideas?
Because it's
change is hard.
They are a religion. They don't engage in the scientific method. They declare edicts that they validate with their authority, and they tell stories to the students in college, and those students propagate those same stories. They don't engage in the scientific method. It is a religion. A
they seem to be really one of the few history concentrations that are very rigid in. It doesn't seem like much has changed since
the
1800s
yeah.
when they were starting to come up with these ideas. I think Jordan had a question.
We got a question in the chat room from Steve. It says, please ask where the inner workings of the water are inside the Great Pyramid.
Great question. Okay, that's a technical question. A lot of very early writers, Savro was one in the first century, described doors on pivots, and that existed up until the first century. And anyway, those doors on pivots are considered to have a functional purpose, which is to be a like a check valve. And in the antechamber between the Grand Gallery and the King's Chamber, there are stones on that slide in slots, if you will. And those also were parts of valves. So imagine you want to hide a pharaoh body, and you have long open passages and then sliding and pivoting stones. See, that doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is these sliding and pivoting stones, many of which are gone now, were part of a functioning device. So that's what we're doing is we're reverse engineering the design of the Great Pyramid and developing this ancient technology through the nonprofit foundation, the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation.
See, I think a lot of what the story that or the myth that comes out about those sliding doors and the pivoting doors, where those were all traps for grave robbers.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah, that's why they think the sliding doors were so important, was that, you know, that was like to trap somebody that was in there robbing the Pharaoh. And makes more sense to make it be a valve of some type.
It does. It really does. Much of the Great Pyramid, the passages and chambers are made with exceptional precision and cemented together to be watertight and airtight, in fact. And Egyptologists say, well, that's symbolic to keep the pharaoh's soul from leaking out of the pyramid or whatever. So it's just nonsensical, but it serves a functional purpose for this unusual, ancient, but very efficient water pumping system.
All right. What would have been like, well, with a water pump today, we have motors that will push the water in different directions. What would have been the push force for that for the pyramid?
Pixie dust.
Oh, just kidding. Come on.
Okay.
For once, I'm being really serious.
I know. No, certainly. Every machine has to be powered.
Right.
You know, even a hammer is powered. So the Great Pyramid, when it was first under construction, they built a chamber 100 feet below the bedrock, the subterranean chamber. And we feel that that was similar to a hydraulic ram water pump. They use the movement of water down the chamber as kinetic energy, like moving force that will compress air. And then that compressed air would pump water. They have hydraulic ram water pumps all over the world. They don't require electricity. We think that the subterranean chamber of the Great Pyramid was more sophisticated than that, but that gives you an idea of how it worked. And those pumps actually do work in the real world. And that supplied the water to those ponds I was talking about during construction. Because you need water for the highest water lock, if you will. And the whole Great Pyramid, all of the odd passages and chambers, acted like a water pump. There was a chamber that a vacuum, believe it or not, a vacuum was developed. And that vacuum drew a big column of water in the Grand Gallery up. And then with valves, they were able to release that vacuum. And then this massive water piston would move down and then ultimately cause the Great Pyramid to pump water. The output of the Great Pyramid was the King's Chamber vents.
Yeah, I remember hearing someone talk about, you know, that one of the small vents on the top was, you know, they were saying it had something to do with the aligning of the stars and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But actually, you think then that those are just vents to, like, equalize the air pressure inside and that kind of thing?
Well, it's a technical purpose, yes. Yeah, there's been a lot of mileage that some authors have gotten over the vents pointing to stars.
Yeah.
But if something points up, it has to point to a star.
True. their argument was that because it was no longer centered on whatever planet or star it was, was that because over the centuries, of course, the orbit of the Earth has kind of tilted a little, the axis is tilted a little bit, and so that's why it's not directly in the center like it would have been to have guided Pharaoh to wherever he decided he was going to go.
Yeah, the precession of the equinoxes, the sky travels across, the stars travel across the sky over thousands of years. But the Statue of Liberty has a crown with 7 points. All of those 7 points points to stars. You know, and then you could develop an elaborate system where the Statue of Liberty predicted the 9/11 tragedy. I mean, if once you get all the height of the Great Pyramid and the statue, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
You're giving away the ideas for my next book.
So what we did is start with a clean slate. You know, there's laws of physics. You know, there's things that need to be demonstrated when you have a theory, and that big heavy stones were moved from point A to point B. Well, how is that done? Instead of a bunch of slaves on a ramp, which can't be demonstrated, we try to give glory to these ancient geniuses who, developed a high technology that they were able to use with pumped water. In fact, here at our foundation, we're doing experimentation at our facility, and we run our laptop computer on water power.
Wow.
That's cool.
That is.
Well, you know, I think part of the problem that anybody would have on the surface of thinking this was a water pump is because, of course, the Nile does not flow close enough to this now. And I saw a documentary last month or something about the changing course of the Nile, and it changes continuously. But because it doesn't flow closely enough now and even 200 or 300 or 500 years ago, that's why people have a harder time, you know, coming up with this concept. But, you know, in the course of 2,000, 5,000 years, that riverbed could have been anywhere because of just, you know, environmental conditions, an earthquake somewhere.
Man-made changes, I mean, for that matter.
Well, certainly, there's a lot of changes that go on over the eons. What's important, although Herodotus described the Great Pyramid as being surrounded by water, I don't have a real problem with a water source at the Giza Plateau based on a whole bunch of technical research. But what's important is not how the water got to the Great Pyramid, mm-hmm. but how to redevelop this ancient technology for modern times. You know, it's you know, we live in a struggling world.
Yes, we do.
You know, in many ways, spiritually, technologically, environmentally.
We only have a few minutes left. Can you give us some idea of what kind of technology, you know, how could we benefit from this?
If you can cheaply pump water, you can use that pumped water to generate electricity and not have to pay an electric bill every month.
That's sold.
The benefit for for us. And you don't have to have a stone pyramid in your backyard, but just use the passages and chambers, PVC pipes and valves, and some other fabrication. But developing this technology, there's been some funding issues with the economy and everything, and that's a struggle. We have the book that came out. We're looking for a animator to make some YouTube videos because it's very visual, and we have a lot going on. Ultimately, I hope to have another book out.
Oh, we hope so too.
Yeah, and I can be back on the show then.
Exactly.
Now, let's say somebody wants to maybe volunteer some time, offer
try
up
out
their
for
services.
The $50,000.
Well, yeah,
thing.
For that. How can they get a hold of you?
Just go to our website at thepump.org, and our email is there. We have some pictures from the book about the water locks, how the Great Pyramid was built, and how the research can help people. Now we have our scholarship, frequently asked questions, and our mission statement, how you can get involved. We want people to mention us on Twitter and Facebook and all of that. And we're getting the word out with the book out and with wonderful shows like this one. So they can find out what they can do. Add a link to their website would be nice, or just anything.
Well, I find this, I have always really had this fascination with Egypt and Egyptology, but this is just absolutely fascinating to me. And to me, it doesn't sound crazy or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know? When I first heard about it, I was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
But
after looking at the... you know, reading through the book, looking at it, I was like, this actually kind of makes sense.
Yes, it does.
And it makes a lot more sense than, you know, however many guys taking a stone up
a ramp.
A ramp slathered with water to make it slippery.
Yeah.
You know, it makes a little more sense than that, but a lot of things does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your kind words. What we're also going to do is have a kind of a program where people can buy the book and read it, and then donate it to high schools.
Oh, that's cool.
To get the word out, you know, it's what young people think that really matters.
Right. And we do have your book on our website, whispersradio.com. It links right up to the Amazon where you can buy it. It's a picture. It's got the prices and everything right there.
Oh, great.
That way our listeners can get directly your book.
I think I have the website linked up, too. If not, for some reason, I'll make sure. I'm having trouble with my internet here today. So
yeah, we are out of time. I want to thank you very much for sharing your book with us, The Last Technologies of the Great or the Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. It's been a very interesting conversation.
Yes, it has. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. And if anyone has a question, they can email us at our website. So I appreciate it and thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks, Stephen.
All right. Did you go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, he's gone. That's pretty cool.
You like
everything.
Lola Soul.
I know not.
You're like Nick. It's like, oh yeah, Stargate technology.
Because
and Nick's like, oh yeah.
It.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem with our society and our culture. We're lazy, and we don't want to think. And so when somebody lays something out for us, and it makes sense, plausible, whether it really does or not, if we don't have to think about it, that's fine.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Now with people like him, gives you something to really ponder and think about. I mean, why is it that what we are told today is necessarily the truth? Or just some form of the truth. I think this guy...
Well, I think that's how you develop new stuff, is you look at what's out there and you say, well, they can be done better, or that's not right, let's see how it can actually be done.
See, the problem is we are all sheep, and we've all been lied
that's
to for
right.
so long. Come on, I'm going to get conspiracy theorist over here, you know.
You don't even want to get me started. Today has been my vent day about all kinds of things, so you don't even want to get me started.
Hey, Lola, you
I bet
know?
You BP doesn't want us to have the Theros pump.
Listen, that's
you,
right.
You want to know what I did last night?
Right.
I went to bingo down in Elm Grove. Let me tell you what.
What does this have to do with anything?
Because Lola getting angry would be amazing there. Because those ladies will say things that will make Nick cry.
I bet.
Somebody wins and like the markers go flying across the room. And it's like, oh my gosh! So I would love, I would pay money to have you there.
This would be Jordan's experience.
This would be my first experience.
You know, I think it makes sense to some degree. And my gut reaction was, and I told him that this was the craziest idea I've ever heard.
Oh, I know. Steve and I were kind of talking about it earlier, and I thought, oh, joy. But what he says really does. And let's face it, this idea of 100 million slaves rolling. I said it was alien, at least alien technology.
That makes sense, yeah.
More so than a bunch of slaves rolling these stones up. I mean, it just...
Well, Occam's razor, I mean, you know, the idea of whatever's... I can't even think of the... You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
If people know what I'm talking about. It makes more sense to use water, you know, which is one of the most, you know, valuable resources of the Nile.
And everybody knows that big rocks float, Nick.
What?
Right?
Oh.
We've got a boat. What are you... A barge. Jeez.
Nick, I am so
just,
with you on this.
Just ignore it.
Yeah,
you see why I was playing Doodle Jump the other day?
I know.
You get me so angry.
It is time.
All right, everybody. We are out of time. Yeah. Next week will be our last show before the Penn trip. If you want to join us, if you want to get out there, get on whispersradio.com and buy a ticket, because it's going to be legend. Wait for it. Dairy.
You know, I have this thing where UPRN cut off right when it was, this is going to be our last show, and then they cut off and went over to the next show. That would be awesome.
All right. Well, we got to go.
All right, everybody. Until next week, don't be afraid. Only believe.